Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by local artist, singer, songwriter, Mike Richards. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to chat because you posted a really cool thing that was on Facebook announcing that you just got signed with a record deal in Nashville. Like, tell me, how did that come about, man? What's the label and when did you find out?
Well, it was actually Straight Shooter Music based in Nashville. They contacted me about a year ago. I want to say, well, literally in March. And they had this whole plan where I was going to be doing a 5-track EP with them on a country music label. And then I was going to be getting a radio push across the nation. And they were going to see how well it did around the US. And then we were going to go and do a tour. But obviously the pandemic happened. And since all the music venues are shutting down, we really had to end up putting that on a serious back burner. And I never really talked about it, but I just, you know, I was kind of sitting down and reflecting on the past year and how everything had been going down. And, you know, I was just excited to actually get this started again. And now that it's happening, it's just, I felt like that post was appropriate.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So, Let's try to, now that listeners know what we're talking about, let's try to move chronologically a little bit and then we can loop it back around to the record deal. But I want to know, mm-hmm. you know, where exactly did you grow up and, you know, who were some of your musical influences as a kid? You know, did you, you know, a lot of people I interview, they started in church or they listened on their parents' record player. You know what I mean? What was it for you, man?
Well, I mean, if that's me, that's a stereotype, I suppose. I was born and raised in Alexandria, Virginia. I actually ended up touring the country a little bit. And while doing that, I figured, well, I should figure out a place to live and what I want to do. I got to see the country and, you know, I got to get out of this town just to see what's out there. And so I ended up just doing all that, but found that I really actually love living in Alexandria. So I moved into Old Town and I've been here ever since. Yeah, just growing up with that background in Alexandria, I did go to church and I started doing choir. I was that kid that couldn't sit still. So sitting down and listening to the preacher, I was real fidgety. And so my mom was like, you should probably find something to do. Like, why don't you join the choir? So I did the children's choir and learned how to sing and harmonize and got really into that. And, you know, just having something to do really helped me out. And then obviously listening to Beatles and John Mayer and Led Zeppelin in the back of my dad's car really gave me a solid background. And then my mom with like some Kenny Loggins. I'm a huge Kenny Loggins fan.
Awesome. Now, just so I have all the details buttoned up, what was the name of the church?
Groveton Baptist.
Okay. And that was in Alexandria as well?
Yep.
Okay, cool. And then, so you're saying Zeppelin and Beatles and, what was your, did you inherit all that just from your parents or were there, I guess I'm a big classic rock guy myself. So mm-hmm. you listened to that with your parents. What like contemporary artists were you listening to of art, you know, that were coming on the scene when we were growing up too?
Ooh, I was a huge Goo Goo Dolls fan. Goo Goo Dolls, Third Eye Blind, John Mayer, Incubus was my favorite band for a long time. So a lot of eclectic rock mixes, I suppose.
Nice. So how did that actually then shape your sound? Because I know you were just nominated for a Whammy, you know, this past cycle, you were one of the nominees in the pop category, but you're also just, I know you just signed your record deal is with Nashville. I don't know if there's any country fusion in with that either, but you know, how would you describe your sound then? An eclectic mix of all that stuff?
It's a bit of an eclectic mix, but I suppose I'm more of a poppy sound. I would probably say something similar to kind of like John Mayer and Dan and Shay. But I suppose just more pop country. I grew up with that huge 90s alternative background. So that kind of translates a little bit into a little bit of an Americana kind of vibe, I believe. And yeah, it just seemed like a natural progression. You know, Hootie and the Blowfish, Darius Rucker ended up going to country right after being like a huge 90s alt rock guy. So
we all had that cracked rear view album, man.
Oh yeah.
But then, you know, I've loved having interviewed Darius and seen him live since. It's just fascinating to watch how he's totally just shifted. And you know, he holds those shows, like for instance at Merriweather, we went and saw him, and he includes his old Hootie stuff mixed right in with the new country stuff, and it really doesn't sound that different. It's a fascinating little tapestry he weaves from the beginning of the night. So that's why I think it's kind of cool to talk to you. It's, I mean, a lot of genres are kind of blurred now anyway, so that's cool. So so you're saying it's more your record deal, would you say? Because I know there's a lot of labels that aren't just country. Like there's even non-country music in Nashville now. But would you say, you mentioned like sort of the new vibe, like Dan and Shay. Would you say they're hiring you to do a country-esque album, or is it more of a pop album?
I think they're looking to do something that is a little commercial, but also I think they're trying to keep it like a real wide and deep hole to fit as much as possible, it seems. So more along the lines of pop country, likely, but they want it also to be me. So just trying to figure out how to toe that line, I suppose, is really what's going to end up happening. When I get out there and start talking to the writing team and the musicians that I'm going to be working with, I'm going to be excited to see how it ends up panning out.
So, yeah, explain how, I mean, come on, man, this is like a dream that you're going to, you know, anyone would love to get signed and offered a chance to fly out there and record. But then all of a sudden it's the dream is put on a major pause with the pandemic. Kind of take me through what was the original plan? Like were you supposed to fly down there like last year or something? And before it all this happened?
That is accurate. Yeah. So I was supposed to fly out sometime last year to get that done. And it just, you know, obviously Tennessee's had a real rough go of things, specifically Nashville. They had those tornadoes that came through there. The pandemic obviously has not been great. There was a bombing that ended up happening like right in the heart of Nashville, it sounded like. And just a lot of that kind of stuff was kind of like, all right, well, maybe it's a good thing that we're having this on the back burner. I can't really travel right now anyway. And yeah, unfortunately, I couldn't.
So what have you been doing in the meantime? Are you still writing songs you hope to get on the album? Like, I mean, you can do that from Old Town.
Yeah. So I want it to be more of a clean slate when I get out there to work with them, because I want to actually sit down with the writing team and with the musicians. And I prefer to have it be something that's a culmination of that experience. Right. So in the meantime, I actually did, because I wasn't able to do that then, I wanted to get a little more experience kind of writing the record, putting out new EP, which I actually did. So I ended up writing 5 tracks, and I ended up going into 38 North Studio and recording with Buddy Spear, Ben Tufts, John Brooks, and Eric Scott. Got it all knocked out in about a week, and we're kind of doing a slow release. So I've been releasing singles over time. And so I've just released 2 tracks, actually, Love Drunk and The Other Side, within the last few months. And they're doing okay. They could probably use a little more attention always, but
that's what we're here for.
Yeah, right.
So you're saying that's a 5-track like EP, you said? That's the latest thing you did?
Yes. So I ended up just doing something in spare time, and also just playing as much as I can in Old Town, staying local as opposed to being traveling too much. I used to just kind of go all up and down the East Coast a bit. And with the pandemic, there were 2 primary spots in Old Town that really just started employing me the most, that helped me kind of thrive and not be able to, or be able to actually pay my bills. So
in Old Town?
Augie's Muscle House, right on King. And then about 4 blocks away is Murphy's.
Yes, I know them both very well. Mm-hmm. Partake in a few libations, but that's cool. No, I mean, as you know, my wife is in a band too, and so I feel it, man. Like, it's probably been a really rough, what's bizarre for all of us, me too, in covering entertainment, but for you especially, man. Like, trying to, I mean, it's your living, but there's nowhere open to then pay the bills, so it's really crazy. Yeah. So it's why don't you just you know, give a shout out to Augie's and Murphy's, and you know, or just explain how grateful you are that they've been the 2 that have basically kept you employed.
Absolutely. I mean, what isn't to say about it? Augie's was fantastic, and just providing, they also were, they had foresight to have a open patio area, which is, I think, why they did such a great job, even in the pandemic, because they still got that open air. They've got heaters going out there, and people just love being out there, especially when it's warm. They've got fantastic mussels. The beer selection is wonderful, and the musician is not so bad from what I hear.
he's then, the best part, I hear.
I'll take it.
So you've been playing there. I mean, that's pretty cool. Like our listeners, you know, if they hear this interview, they know you're about ready to go to Nashville and cut an album. So this is explain how this is their chance to sort of see you on, you know, locally live, sort of get in on the ground floor before you make the jump.
Absolutely. Well, I'm there every Monday through Thursday, 5 to 8. So you can see me plenty. They might as well have a cot upstairs for me.
Wait, which one is 5 to 8? Which is the two?
Augie's.
Okay, cool. And then Murphy's is when?
Murphy's, I'm there every Sunday. Sporadically on Fridays and Saturdays, but I'm always there from 7:15 until 11:15 p.m.
Awesome. So what's the new plan? I know it's impossible to make plans because the vaccines are rolling out and we really still don't even know exactly when everything's going to be back to normal, but
yeah,
could you ballpark, like, do you even have an idea of when you're hoping to do the Nashville, you know, head out there?
I'm not 100% sure yet. I know it's going to be sometime this year. And I'm hoping it's going to be by the summer.
Okay, great. So what's the plan? Mm-hmm. You move there for indefinitely or for just like a, you know, as for the duration it takes to cut the album, which I don't, you know more about that than me. What does that usually take, like a month or two?
So it might actually only take about a week. And that was the thing that was interesting about doing the whole EP at 38 North was finding out that you've got these musicians who are so fantastic. You sit down and you give them a blank canvas of like just you doing a demo and playing the track with them for a little bit. And then, you know, they've got an idea and you run with it. And it's so fun to watch it come together. So what will likely end up happening is I'm not going to have to move out there indefinitely. I'll be out there likely for a week. And they have a little condo above the studio that I'm going to be staying in and just working with the marketing team, the writing squad and the musicians and the studio folks, and just hashing these things out and putting it out there and seeing what happens.
Awesome. Do you know could you share with us the names of any of those people that are, you know, do you know the songwriters you'll be working with, or is that TBD?
It's TBD right now.
Gotcha. Well, that it's still a really cool opportunity, man. Just so you know, our listeners know, you referenced 38 North, the music studio here, that's out in, it's in Falls Church, right?
It is.
Okay, cool. Do you know anything about how long they've been around, or could you, you know, elaborate on them, because a lot of our listeners probably don't even know that they're around.
So 38 North is actually a really fantastic studio that just came out. It used to be Q Recording Studios, but they ended up splitting up the rooms. 38 North bought out what used to be the Red Room, which is like the first place I ever actually recorded, is like a 16-year-old in a rock band. So it was kind of cool to come full circle with that. But the staff there is fantastic. They've got a really solid group of musicians that are just, I can't even say enough about them. The studio itself has only been around, I want to say, for maybe 2 years. And the owners, Sarah and Buddy, are just wonderful people. I was lucky enough to meet them. John Brooks, my engineer, was working with me before he even went to 38 North at all. So it's just everything kind of worked out. And, you know, sometimes life guides a path for you and you just, it's a natural progression to that thing.
I love it. All right. Tell me about where did you come up with the phrase "a note to self"? Cause I know it's the website, it's the, your Twitter handle, it's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. What's in a name with that, sir?
So it's a lot of things. So the main one, well, I kind of stole it from my buddy, my best friend, Brandon Kate, back in the day with AOL Instant Messenger. His name was literally "a note to self," spelled just like this. So that was one layer of it. The next layer is I was starting this. I started it as a two-piece with my buddy Bird Bunyu. And he ended up just kind of working more into his studies and starting getting into graphic design. So it became a solo. So no longer TWO, but I just kept the name. And it just was always a constant reminder to myself that if I was going to do this, I was going to be almost immersing myself in a language. Like when you try to learn like Spanish, you're going to go to a Spanish speaking country. immerse yourself in it. It's a note to self to never settle for less and to just jump in and, you know, I'm diving in. That's it.
I love it. Now, are you going to, I know, you know, obviously your name's Mike Richards, but I know you also, your Twitter is Rook Richards. Are you, which one should I be referring you to? And which one, like, are you going to, is that like your stage name or your artist name or what, you know, what should we refer to you by in the article?
You can call me Rook Richards. Rook Richards is actually what I was called all the time. I'm a big hockey player. So I used to go to this bar Southside that's in Old Town all the time. And I was, it was all the hockey guys would go there and I was the youngest guy on the team. So they always called me Rookie and the bartenders there just started abbreviating that to Rook. So now everybody just calls me Rook.
Yeah. You hear that all the time. Sports, yeah.
Yep.
I love it. So you're a big hockey guy then. So I assume then being a Alexandria guy, the Caps winning the other year was insane for you.
Ooh, so about that.
Oh, all right. No, let's hear about it. Where do your allegiances lie? Sorry for assuming.
No, that's okay. A lot of people do. So I'm a big Pittsburgh fan, actually. And I know that's like anytime I say that around Caps fans, you hear the like hisses. But
yeah, the rival. Yeah. There's not many Crosby and Ovi fans. You're one or the other usually.
Yep, that is true.
You know what? We can bond over. We both had Jager for a while, so we can bond over that.
That is true, but he did a lot better in Pittsburgh.
Of course. Ugh. But you also had, dude, you had Lemieux too then. Like, you guys were stacked.
Oh, man. I remember that was the first time I ever watched my father cry was when Lemieux retired from the NHL.
I could see that actually.
Yeah, it was crazy to me.
I mean, but I get it, man. Around, I mean, we cried when Ripken broke the streak and retired. I get it entirely. Yeah. You know, that it's Lemieux. Ooh. Lemieux's the guy up there. Well, actually, there's a lot of guys up there. You got the whole Steelers and everything. But yep. Cool, man. That's freaking awesome. Cool. I didn't know this. We're talking hockey. We're talking, you know, country music. This is great. Mm-hmm. What else should we, I mean, anything else we should talk before we hop off here? What else do we need to know about you, I guess?
I mean, you got a pretty solid culmination right there. I'm a big hockey guy, big music guy, and, you know, I live in Old Town Alexandria, and I love my life.
I love it, and I love it that you're sticking to your D.C. area roots, too. You're going to fly out there, you're going to make the music, but you'll bring it all back here. I really dig that.
Absolutely.
Cool. What else? I wanted to ask could you send us that John Thompson photo, that mural? Cause I think that's a cool, like DC angle that we can use.
I absolutely can. Yeah.
And real quick, what's the story behind that? Where is that? And when was that taken and stuff?
That was taken, I want to say it was pre-pandemic. So I want to say 2018. 2018 or 2019, with a photographer named Eric Vargas. He needed a model just to do a quick shoot over in, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a really colorful alleyway in DC that's actually quite popular. The name's escaping me right now, but in that alleyway is that mural, and he thought it would be a great idea just to kind of sit, like take one of those photos where you could split it up and put it as a huge Instagram post essentially. But I also just really love the mural, and I thought it was a just, you know, good testament, just respect. I don't know. Everything, all of it, it just seemed really nice, and it seemed to make a lot of sense.
I really dig the picture. That's probably, if you don't mind, we might probably, we'll make that maybe at the image that, you know, you click the little thumbnail image when it shows up on social media, it'll be you at the mural. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Please do. Yeah.
Unless there's a better one of you than a guitar or something, but I think that one, it caught my eye on social. So it probably will for our listeners too.
Uh-huh. Well, real quick, I mean, go ahead and send you both if you really want.
Yeah. Send me whatever. Were you a big John Thompson fan? I know he just died last year, but you know, his Hoyas led by Patrick Ewing are, you know, they won the Big East this year. They just got bounced from the tournament, but the NCAA.
Yeah.
Tournament. But are you a Georgetown fan or just more of a fan of what Thompson did for the city, or? You know,
I think I'm just more of a fan of what he did for the city and what he stood for. And that quote is just, don't let your existence be reduced to 8 to 10 pounds of air. You know, it goes across so many things. I'm a big guy for quotes, and just, you can really understand the merit of a person by just quotations and the way they speak. And so I think he was he always respect. That was a big thing for him. And I think that that mural by Billy Colbert is just wonderful. So I think just the man himself, man, the myth, the legend, he's a testament to DC and just a mindset that I want to always have at the forefront of anything that I end up trying to accomplish for myself.
Perfectly said. I think that's a perfect place to leave it, man. Hey, I really appreciate you doing this, and best of luck, first and foremost, with, you know, the EP and then the gigs around town here, but then definitely good luck when it comes time to head out there. That's going to be awesome, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. And tell Ashley I said hi, and thank you for recommending that, you know, I hop on an interview and just chat with you for a minute.
Yeah, it's been great. We'll keep in touch and follow your career and all that stuff. But this would be a good way to sort of prime the pump and introduce listeners to who you are, and then they can sort of follow your journey. I think it'll be cool.
Absolutely. It's really exciting. I appreciate it.